Are you confident about the GNU?
No.
Why?
I'm not happy that sufficient negotiation and structure was entered into before the deal was struck. There's unfinished business. Well, we've got a government of national unity, but hang on.
Mark, hi, good morning.
Good morning. It's a big week for economics, eh?
Yeah.
The medium-term budget policy statement.
Yes.
Let's start there. What are the challenges? If you were the Minister of Finance, what balance are you going to try and achieve between stimulus and austerity? Now, you answer that term and you can start a whole new career. Okay. Yeah.
Why do I think that your answer to this is going to be much smarter than mine? I mean, my answer is really you should have a balance. You know what I think is interesting about this medium-term statement? All of the press this morning, you know, there's a lot of previews of what's happening. And it's interesting to me that the news is pretty good. You know, people are sort of saying it's the best backdrop. This is the best economic backdrop that we've had to a medium-term policy statement for years. Things are looking up. We're going on an upward trajectory. We should be kind of happy. But the problem is that might be true. It might be better than last year and the year before, but it's still not good, you know? And, you know, there's that concept of the mood elevator, that your mood doesn't depend on objectively where you are. It depends on what your mood was previously. So if you're going up, your mood is good, even though you're actually still only on the third floor so far. Does that make sense?
So what books have you been reading over the weekend? So we said at the beginning, we're going to start with economics, not psychic stuff. And, you know, anyway.
It is economics. It is economics.
Okay. Well, I'll just take it and say, I'm in a pretty good mood. I don't know if that helps the budget, but I hope it does. Okay. Look, I think the challenge is this, eh? We need like 3% growth at the low end of the what we need. If you listen to all the speeches that have been made, all of the, you know, the investment-seeking missiles that we've sent out around the world have all talked about a 3 to 4% GDP growth. And it's kind of difficult to imagine that being a close cousin of serious fiscal consolidation. But I don't actually think that's the real challenge. You know, I was reading yesterday that about 50% of our water supply leaks. Okay. And I think the same can be said about our money. Yes. I think if we were, we still see corruption continuing unabated. We see awards of contracts at prices that are self-evidently rubbish, or we see things being paid for that haven't been done. If you stop that, the medium-term budget policy statement said, walk in the park, man, because we've got trillions at our disposal that are leaking from the system. Is that being too sensationalist?
No, not at all. No, I'm with you there. You said that you were in a good mood. Can I cite a statistic that will put you in a bad mood?
Change that.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, go.
Okay, here's the statistic. 2025 will be the 12th consecutive year of a shrinking GDP per capita in South Africa. So it'll be the 12th consecutive year, even though things are looking up, that the population grows faster than the economy. I mean, this is not good. And you only have to drive through, you know, places in South Africa to see that.
Yeah, and you have to drive through emerging towns. You know, I happen to be up in Polokwane. There's a 50-kilometer radius around Polokwane, which is just increasing informal settlement.
Right.
You know, with very limited services and all of these things. So you're right. The real challenges are leakage and negative real growth in terms of per capita. And that requires some structural kind of reforms, which really have less to do with finance and more to do with social management, don't they?
Yes, exactly. I mean, you don't want to be too negative about it. I mean, it is a relief that, you know, the budget miss in terms of income is only going to be around about 10 billion rand. And a 10 billion rand miss by, you know, the standards.
Well, the two-pot.
Yes, partly the two-pot is helping, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the two-pot system will help fill that up.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, but that's a short-term borrowing from the future, as I've repeated and repeated.
Yes.
So we'll pay that back in social spending.
Yes. No, exactly.
Anyway, as you say, let's feed the ducks. The ducks are quacking. The world's feeling good. We sort of think that GNU, despite its teething problems, might kind of hold it together. inflation's down, and I've heard the Reserve Bank wants to lower their target. I mean, give us a break already, eh? But the signs are interest rates are going down. It sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about that, about the target being set lower? Because, you know, the Reserve Bank argues that when you set a target of between 3 and 6%, your effective target is 4.5%.
Yeah.
So you go to your effective target.
Yeah.
Why don't we just set a single numerical target of 3% and then, you know, stay there?
I agree with that.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I agree with setting a range, you veer to the midpoint. But should the midpoint now, because of a bit of good news on this front, should the midpoint move down as is being suggested from, I think, 4.5 to 3, that's like a serious reduction.
Yes.
It's not like a couple of basis points here and there. I mean, going from 4.5 to 3 is a 33% move, my friend. Yeah.
Yes, no, exactly.
People smarter than us know these things, but we have got this extraordinary need for growth on the GDP per capita debate and this extraordinary need for austerity on the public spending debate. I'm not even going to bring up SOEs because the word bailout has just got to get out of our vocabulary. We've got to move from a mindset of bailing things out to a mindset of making informed, appropriate decisions either way.
Yes.
And it's not about bailing out. It's about, you know, have you got an investment case? Anyway, it's going to be a week. There are a couple of things coming up in the next 2 days and the next 7 days. One of them is the USA election, right?
Yes.
Now, someone said to me that if you're not sure which way you're thinking on something, spin a coin.
Right.
Okay, this is definitely a spin a coin election result in my view. The difference is the test when you're spinning a coin is it's while it's in the air that you do wish it would come down one way.
Okay. Right.
If you don't know what you think, spin the coin. And while it's spinning up there, you go, I hope it's heads, I hope it's heads, I hope it's heads. Okay. And then your truth will emerge. Okay. Because it's just that's human behavior. Your bias will emerge.
Right.
But isn't this a spin a coin election, Jim?
Yeah. No. It's incredible. We are delving again into psychology rather than into the issue at hand. And you're to blame this time.
I'm trying to make you feel better about that mood thing you started with. Okay. What do you think of the US election, which is on the 5th of November? It's a week's time or something.
It is amazing to me. You know what I heard? Somebody told this. I read this somewhere. I'm not sure where. But for people who are, you know, urban liberals, like I would put myself in that category, even though I don't live in an urban area, but, you know, I'm of that mentality. You know, obviously, we think Trump is appalling, right?
Yeah, you might be half right. You're a rural liberal.
yes, there is such a thing. So obviously, I really hope that Kamala Harris gets in. I mean, I'm on her side. I think that Trump would be a disaster. Yeah. It's astounding to me that Americans like this guy. He's obviously a dick. Sorry, did I just say that?
You so did. I hope they leave it in.
So the question is, why are Americans, the most sophisticated economy in the world, supporting this guy? And here's the answer. I'll give you the answer if you want it.
You wrote a great piece about it, which people should go and read. But tell me.
Okay. So the answer is that you think that Trump is awful and that makes him bad. But for Trump supporters, oddly enough, so assume that you are a sort of moderately attractive woman who never got dates. And then you bring to the party somebody who stands around and makes, you know, racist jokes and is generally obnoxious. So the reason why the moderately attractive woman brought this guy to the party was not because she likes the guy. She likes the fact that you don't like the guy.
Yeah.
So basically, Republicans, you know, they really like the fact the Democrats don't like Trump. They don't actually like Trump themselves.
You're treading on a series of fine lines here this morning, Jim, but I mean, go for it. On a more sort of sober analysis, if I might say,
right?
It's kind of sense against populism, which is kind of what you're saying as well. You know, I mean, we have a lot of that at home.
Yes,
we have, you know, populism prevailing over common sense or prevailing over, you know, capability, all of these things. And populism is the winner.
Yes.
Where do we go with that? How do we compete with the new emerging powers in the East when America's going down this road? I mean, I think there is a divergence away from sense and long-termism to populism and short-term gratification.
Yeah.
People that can make promises but that they don't have to deliver.
No, exactly. You know, the BRICS conference has just taken place in Kazakhstan. You know, there was a whole bunch of observing nations
there.
It was a big success. South African business people met with Putin from face-to-face, person-to-person. I mean, it's just kind of shocking. You know, the whole effort of the West to isolate Putin is so not working. You know, it is almost the opposite of working. You know, we need to hold the line a bit. You know, I wish we would. But South Africans really aren't really in a position to judge, you know, because we did vote for a populist president twice in a row. And, you know, the 12 years of, you know, sub-population, GDP population growth are a consequence, I think.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, we need a little bit of consistency in our foreign policy. And it's going to prove to be one of the harder things to manage within the GNU, where there are lots of things within the GNU, which it seems are starting to emerge, where people are saying, you can't say that without my permission. And there's a risk in that as well. You know, I'd rather see some delineation of responsibility than all responsibility centering around the president's utterances, because then we become sort of mute in the result. So that is a challenge that we have to still deal with. You know, can the Minister of Home Affairs pronounce on an agreement he signed, I see recently, with regards to Ukraine without the president's sign-off? And can, you know, is everybody in the headlights until the president signs off? And the corollary to that is, whenever the president makes an utterance, has he got cross-party support? And that could lead to a very uncomfortable stalemate, don't you think? We've got to iron that out.
Yeah. Are you confident about the GNU? Are you happy about it? And
No.
Okay. Why?
Well, I'm happy about what brought it into existence, given the alternative.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I'm not happy that sufficient negotiation and structure was entered into before the deal was struck. Okay. And so everyone's now lost their negotiating stance. And so this is a deal which is going to have to continuously be revisited because it didn't spend enough time brewing. That's what worries me, is this unfinished business. We've got a government of national unity, but hang on. We still have the president with the sole right to appoint ministers. We still have. And so we've still got lots of stuff that wasn't pre-agreed that's going to be dealt with in the public debate, which doesn't stand well for confidence and things of that nature. So it's a roughly cooked cake with good intentions. That would be my description.
Yes. No, totally agree. But you know what is good, though, is that, you know, some departments are moving ahead faster than others. And I think that's a good thing, because I quite like the idea of government departments. And, you know, we're just seeing the beginnings
competition.
Of it now. I quite like the idea. Yeah. Between one minister saying, oh my God, this guy, Leon Schreiber, he's getting all the press, you know, and I'm getting none. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, but now what happens? I agree with that. And I agree that the competitions can, it's one of the possibilities, spur people on. It can also result in partisan support and denial and holding things back. Because if the people that are all winning are not on your team, then you kind of stop wanting them to win, okay? And a government of national unity presumes that all victories will be celebrated by all parties. And the risk we face is that there will still be these party-specific victories, and they are still referred to as a DA minister or an ANC minister. It's a tough one, Tim. It's a very difficult mixture to mix and come up with something that everyone can live with and function under. But it's better than we could have had, and I think it's got a chance. I'm still a backer.
I do think so. I think the way it's unfolding, I'm increasingly confident that we will see a GNU for at least most of Ramaphosa's current term. They seem to be dedicated to the idea of staying in. They seem to be fighting about things with gusto, but not with, ultimatums. which is, I think, is a good thing too. And there's enough cooperation to make it possible that it could see through the term, which is, I think, is an important part of the process.
Let's hope that the center of the center prevails, because there's enough challenges about fighting inside the tent. You know, Tim, I don't know when last you went in and out of Cape Town, but I see that Cape Town is now in the top 10 most traffic congested cities in the world. That was a survey that was conducted.
How weird. I was going to ask if you knew that Cape Town was in the top 10 worst traffic in the world.
I know stuff, man. Come on, man. I know. Just because I went to a government school in Mpumalanga doesn't mean I don't know stuff. I know stuff, man. I've got my trick. So here's the thing. Now, there's a city whose name kind of escapes me now. That Barcelona, I think it was, where they suddenly took the view that they're never going to solve the traffic problem. They're not going to be less cars. They're not going to be less people. But there could be more bicycles. Now, do you think that could work? I mean, ignoring our bicycle skills, it would be electric bikes and stuff. And ignoring the fact that I don't know how long you could park your bike in Joburg before it gets scaled, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, we are going to have to find a universal case study to solve traffic everywhere. But Cape Town, and by the way, Joburg, it's not even in the top 25, in terms of congestion in the world. What is your answer, Tim? What is your answer? I know you face this problem 3 days every year.
My problem, and I have the instant solution to this, and nobody in Cape Town likes my idea. The solution is basically this. They've got to flatten that mountain. If they take the mountain away, then things...
Are you all saying that you can get more?
Because that's the difference between Joburg and Cape Town. Cape Town has a mountain and Joburg doesn't.
Well, I've got an even better solution than that. They've got to fill up the sea because, you know, you can only access Cape Town from, you know, two or three different spots. Whereas if you could access it like you can, the full radius. So if we fill up the sea and flatten the mountain, that's it, Tim. Hey?
Yeah, that's
we got it.
It,
man.
That's done.
I don't know what people are talking about these things for so long. But the other thing we could do, okay, I'm going to now move into sports, but an unusual sports.
Right.
So some Ethiopian guy, okay, Yunif Kajekcha, I think his name is pronounced, has just broken the half marathon record, which has stood for some time.
Yes.
And guess how long he took to run 21.1 kilometers?
I don't even like to think about this.
57 minutes and 30 seconds.
Amazing.
Okay. That's an amazing achievement. But that's not as interesting as a sport which is on its way to South Africa. It's coming to South Africa. And you guess. Think of a sport that's not here yet, but that's coming. Think.
American football.
I'll tell you what it is. It's called power slapping. Okay. There's a new sport, Silvara's Vrachta. Okay. You stand there and you take turns slapping each other in the face. Okay. No, I'm sorry. Okay. I mean, it's not like you even get a chance to defend yourself. You stand still with your hands behind your back and the other claps you with his hand. And if you're still standing, that's fine. Then it's your turn. And they put white powder on there and they warm up and they wear kit and they do. And then they clap the other guy until one of them falls down. So now I can see why that would fill a stadium, eh? I mean, don't you? I mean, I'm sorry, man. Is that a sport? Okay. And I can just check the betting that was going to go on. Hey, and can you imagine how beautiful these men must look, you know, having been, I mean, on your way to becoming the power stepping champion, you're going to change some of your features, but okay, let's face it. No, I can't anymore. I'm finished. And the last thing I have this week, okay, is that, you know, I don't know if you've noticed recently, but every time I buy something, they want my email address and my cell phone number and blah, blah, blah. And I've stopped giving it to them. And they say to me, yeah, but the warranty won't work. I said, I'll challenge that in court. If you need my personal data for the warranty to work, I'll see you later in court, mate. See you in court. That's what I say. But here's what I just discovered. PayPal, according to something I just read, is handing out your personal data. And the thing that's most frightening about the data they're handing out is they're handing out your pant size.
Oh, no. They can't do that.
No, that's going to turn us all into liars, is it? Yeah, it is. It's all going to lie, right? When people meet you at a cocktail party, they're going to go, you're not a 36, man. Are you kidding me?
Eh? All right.
They're invading us, Tim. Interesting week ahead, eh? Yes, have a good week.
Yes, you too.